do need it. We don't seem to have it, right? Yet patience is the first thing listed when Paul is talking about what love is. Remember, God is love, as we read before. And so this is a picture of who God is. God is patient. It's the first in this description of love. It's also on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. So you know this thing called patience is important for believers. Yet the problem is this, that we kind of hesitate to pray for patience, don't we? Because the point is that it usually comes through trials. That's how it comes. And I picked this particular little clip out because this is an area that I struggle in more than any other area in my life with patience. It is driving the car. And I am totally that guy sitting there and going like 6 inches forward and looking in my rearview mirror. Can I grab a lane? And I grab a lane. And you grab the lane, and the lane that's moving suddenly stops, and the lane that you were in starts moving. Right? Amen? And you go, ah! To me, this is one of the most frustrating areas of my life. And it's interesting, as we go through this, the word here in 1 Corinthians 13:4 is made up of two Greek words. The first one is makros, which means long. And makros. The second one is thumos, wrath or anger. So if we put them together, the word peace from the Greek would be literally long anger. That's what peace is, long anger. What does that mean? A term that we might more easily understand is long fuse. Long fuse. How many of us have long fuses in this place today? Takes a lot to really fire you up, a lot to let the bomb explode. Well, that's what this word means. It means long anger. And when we look at it, particularly in the context that it's in here, we see that this is talking about extreme patience towards people rather than patience towards circumstances or events. So this video is really circumstances and events, although what I have a tendency to do is translate it into a people issue when I'm driving. Don't they know how to drive? Where did they learn how to drive? And then I look at the license plate, and if they're from a certain state, then I really get mad. What? How come every time people from that state, they're always driving like this? So I take a circumstance, and I move it into a personal thing when that's really not the issue, because I don't know that person driving. So I become impatient very quickly. This definition, or this word, means this: slow in becoming angry. Slow in becoming angry. It endures personal evil. It endures personal injury. It endures personal provocation without being filled with resentment, with anger, or wanting revenge. That's what this word in context means. It virtually means never gets angry, no matter how the person is treated. That's what the word here means. Remember when we were sharing a couple weeks ago, we read through this list of what love is, and we get so discouraged. We get through it, and we go, I'm not that. Now I give you a definition of patience, and you thought, well, I'm a pretty patient person. Then I read that definition, and you go, I am not patient at all. This is one, out of all these 15 that are here, I figured I could chalk at least this one up in my column of, yeah, I'm pretty good with that. Then you read the definition, and you go, I am not even close to that, Lord. That's why when we look at this section of Scripture, we realize that this is a picture of who God is. God is patient. God is patient. He is slow to anger. He is slow then to punishment. And this is a beautiful picture of just one of the great characteristics of who our God is. He's this beautiful jewel that we keep turning and seeing another facet of His greatness and goodness and beauty. And then we turn it in a different light and we see it. Oh, wow. Oh, what about that? Take a look. God is patient. Exodus 34:6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. This is Moses. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's who God is. He's proclaiming that about himself. And then in Numbers 14:18, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty. That's the joy of the cross right there. That God, because he is holy and he is just, when someone sins, he can't just let it pass. And so we see even in here a picture of the cross that God has to judge iniquity because of who he is, his holiness. And we see a picture of the cross that God did judge all sin, including those of the believer, through Christ on the cross. And then in 1 Timothy, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. This is Paul speaking. He's saying, in me, what God has done. I mean, he was patient with me for all those years so that he could display from the foremost of sinners his great patience, to display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Our God is patient. When you think about it, it is not really that amazing that an omnipotent God can create everything out of nothing or destroy anything. He's omnipotent, unlimited in power. So you go, okay, I get that. But when you put it in perspective, it is incredibly amazing that the Creator, this omnipotent God, would be patient towards rebellious, disobedient, sinful, ungrateful inferiors who constantly challenge and question his authority. That is amazing, isn't it? I mean, we read about it. If God really got mad, but he doesn't. Not in that sense. And so who could restrain this omnipotent God? No one other than himself. And when we see God's patience in the Word of God, when we see God's patience in our lives, we start putting together this picture of the fact that God's patience is very powerful. This is awesome, awesome picture of God restraining himself, though he wouldn't need to. He would be just in bringing immediate judgment on our sin. And didn't he do that with the fallen angels?
No.
He didn't. So as soon as the angels fell, God judged them. But now Adam and Eve fall. We got a little preacher coming up, huh? Got to get a little bit of better theology there, but She's young. What happened is that Adam and Eve sin, and immediately God is looking ahead to the cross, and instead of responding to them as he did the angels, he's patient with them. He doesn't bring immediate judgment on their sin because he was looking to the cross. And so we see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, etc. We see the cross all over the Old Testament, and particularly Genesis, as I said. So we see this picture. This is amazing that God, the living God, the omnipotent God, would be patient with his creation who constantly seem to challenge his authority. And then what we do is this. We have a tendency to take God's patience with us, and we do what? His patience is meant to lead us to repentance, to bring us to this place where we say how great of a God we have, how wonderful he is. He's patient with me, with the intent of bringing us to repentance. And what do? We take his patience and we apply it in the exact opposite way of which it is intended. We say, oh, God must approve of what I'm doing. We know in our hearts it's sin. And sometimes we go so far as to say, well, until God brings judgment, I'm going to keep doing this. God's not serious about sin. Because if he was, even I know that he should judge me by now. And sometimes we go so far as to even question whether there even is a God. Because if there was a God, certainly there wouldn't be this sin in the world, and all of a sudden God would judge it, and God would bring the hammer down, as we used to say, on the situation, because a holy God couldn't put up with this. So I wonder if there's even a God, sometimes people will say. So they'll take God's patience and they'll use it in the exact opposite purpose for what it was intended. His patience is intended to bring us to repentance, not to continue in our sin, not to look for an excuse to sin. Well, if this was wrong, God would surely judge me. Take a look at God's word in Romans. Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? So you're taking advantage of it, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness, God's patience, all those things previously listed. God's kindness, forbearance, and patience. All those things are meant to do what? To lead us to repentance. And then we look at Romans chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction in order to make known the riches of his glory for the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared before glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. That God is being patient. He's waiting. And his patience is a picture that somehow God's patience, by not judging sin immediately, brings him great glory. Because even when he does judge then, we can say, look at how patient God was. But we even in that situation, don't we? We use that against God. We use that against God in the sense that when justice comes, we're mad at God for being unjust. Right? It's like God can't win. If he waits, he gets accused of not caring about sin or not even being existing. And then if he does bring judgment, no matter how long he waits, well, God's got a short fuse. Why is he getting so mad? And so it seems like God is in this place where people judge him. And no matter what he does, he fails. And that just shows you the sinfulness, the darkness in our hearts. That God, no matter what he does, we would judge him. Why are they prospering? I mean, he does this, this, and this. God, you should judge them. Why aren't you judging them? And then something happens in our life. Oh, God, why? Boy, you sure came down on me hard and quick. Maybe or maybe not. So we see this picture of God. And I'll say this. This is from my perspective. I think that when God extends his patience, that patience is greater towards a believer than an unbeliever. It's greater towards a Christian than somebody who is lost. You say, why do you say that? And again, this is from my perspective. Here's why. Because sin and rebellion and questioning God's authority, that comes natural to someone who's fallen, who is not renewed by the Spirit of God. That comes natural. It's who they are. You know, a zebra runs with zebras. A zebra acts like a zebra. A zebra doesn't act like a lion. Okay, so it doesn't surprise me that somebody who does not know Christ would not have the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so I kind of expect that. But a believer? I mean, The Holy Spirit dwells within all of us who are believers this morning. If you have come to a place of knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Spirit of God dwells within you. God is love. God is patient. He dwells within us. So from my perspective, it seems like the Christian, when God extends patience towards me and other believers, that's a greater patience than even to the lost. Because I have the Spirit of God who dwells within me. I can walk in victory in these areas, yet what do I often do? I complain. I'm ungrateful. My love towards God is cold. I sin. I rebel. I want judgment on everybody else but me. And yet the Spirit of God dwells within me. And I find it carries over in my life that it is easier for me personally to be patient with lost people because of this principle. They don't know any better to me. You know, they don't sit in a Sunday morning service and hear about patience like we are. But boy, when a brother or sister stabs you in the back or does something, it's like we kick into this mode and we go, they should know better. And so then we use that almost as an excuse for our impatience. I know I do. I know I do. You know, I get up this morning and I go out to come here to church, right? This week has been terrible for my patience. God has been giving me all these great opportunities to be patient. And I have to tell you, I have failed a lot of tests. And so what happened is I get up this morning, I'm running a little bit late, go outside to get in the car, and somebody parks right behind my van. And immediately I can feel my temperature going hotter than what it is outside. I'm going, how can they not? And I catch myself mid-sentence. Okay, Dan, this isn't critical. Okay. How can they not know I'm the first out? It's Sunday morning. Why do they park behind me? What's the deal here? And I can just feel it, you know? And we all know what I'm talking about. Because they know better. They should know that. I taught them better. So from my perspective, I think God's patience towards us as believers is greater than to those who are lost. Because of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Did you ever think about that? Because this is part of the whole purpose of this series, to see God's goodness towards us. And because we're so overwhelmed with his patience towards us, that would be one of the springboards that we would be able to be patient towards others. What we find here in all of these is that these are verbs and they are in the present tense. So what that means is that these things that are described are habitual and present actions. That's what they are. In other words, this is who a Christian is day to day. That's what this section of Scripture means. As a matter of fact, especially with patience, to the Greeks, this wasn't a virtue. This wasn't a virtue. It was the opposite. Because the Greeks would look at it and say, no, you... being patient is not a virtue. That's a negative. That's not a good character quality. And so Christians in that time frame, in that area, part of the reason they could be identified as Christians is because they were patient. So the Greeks at that time would look, and if they would see somebody that was very patient, would assume that that person was a Christian. So what about us? Patience is a great barometer of spiritual health and maturity. It is a great barometer of spiritual health and maturity. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you read in the fruit of the Spirit and other sections of Scripture, you'll find this, that Christian virtues like faith, hope, love, joy are all dependent upon patience. It's one of those characteristics that gird up all the other ones. Patience. So this is what a Christian is to look like, and this is is important in the other principle or other characteristics of our walk with God, the other virtues, and it's a barometer. Yet, I know in my own life, yet, we're often impatient. Often impatient. Why? This comes from Dan's own heart right here. Okay, because I was really saying, God, why am I so impatient in so many of these things? Well, I think that we're often impatient because we're self-centered. I think we're often impatient because we're short-sighted. And I think we're often impatient because we're self-righteous. I think that's why, at least in my life, though it seems like I can take every time I'm impatient and it will fall under one of those three. For example, self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's about my time schedule. They're 10 minutes late. Don't they respect anybody's time? That's hard for me, you know, especially if you're from a military background. And you look and you go, oh boy. So, you know, it's all about me. It's all about my time. Don't they understand my time is precious? Or we get impatient with people because they don't do it our way. You know why? You know why we get impatient? Because, of course, our way is the best. It's the right way. Any other way is inferior, number two or lower. Because my way is the best way. My way brings me least conflict. I can get it done in half the time. Because my way is the best way. And the idea of some other way, well, it's there, but clearly not as good as my way. And it's going to take longer, and it's going to take me more pain. And I want my personal comfort, and I've got other things scheduled. It's about me. That's the number one. I found that so many times, driving. Why am I mad at this guy? Why am I mad the traffic is slow? If you were here on Monday morning trying to get across, traffic was backed up all over. So then later in the day, I drive through and I'm thinking, okay, just being honest here. They're doing construction on the pike, right? That's in between La Crescent and La Crosse. So that's where they start. Then all of a sudden, they decided to do construction between La Crescent and Hoka. What are they thinking? It's already backed up. And you're doing this, people. Because you were thinking the same thing, weren't you, if you were driving around here, right? Let's just be honest. Do one road. Just get me mad on one road.
Amen.
Amen. Just one road. That's all I want. Just get me two seasons in the Midwest, right? Winter and construction. So here we are. And the temperature is rising. I'm getting angry and I realize, you know what? I had a goal, and the goal was to get to from point A to point B with the least amount of resistance. That was my goal, right? It's all about me, and I left in the right amount of time, but your construction people messed that up. And so we get upset because it's all about me. My way is the best way. My way is the best way. You don't do both roads. My way is the best way. How much experience do I have in road construction? Just take a wild guess. From 0 to 100. Zero, exactly. But I'm advising the guys that have spent 40 years in the business or 100 years in the business, I'm advising them of my great wisdom. And that's the struggle because my way is the right way. Even though I don't have any experience, my way is the right way. And I'm mad because I'm losing my patience because my way is the right way. And it's all about me, Jesus. And then what happens is I found this, that I especially get frustrated when short-term goals are blocked. Short-term goals. You know, like I don't get upset so much if we're spending money somewhere and I'm not frustrated and starting to lose my patience because, oh, we're not going to have enough money to retire. I'm thinking we won't have enough money or things will be tight for the next week. You see, it seems like short-term goals. I want to get from point A to point B without any problems. I want it to be stress-free, okay? And so there's a short-term goal, usually like 10 minutes away. And because I can't reach that in my time frame, the short-term goal, I get frustrated, I get impatient. If I'm working on something and my way is the right way, and something occurs, and what do? I say, well, this is going to take twice as long. So now I get frustrated because my short-term goal, getting done in this amount of time, is blocked. And so now I can feel the temperature rising. I can feel the temperature rising. My short-term goal is blocked. So I get frustrated. It's going to take twice as long. Instead of an hour, it's going to take 2 hours. Because now I got to explain it to everyone. They're going to do it my way. Okay, we finally, after fighting for 10 minutes, they finally agree my way is the best way, which was always the truth. And now I got to explain everything to them. I mean, when you put it in perspective, by the way, Lisa loves to laugh at this. You can ask her about this. When we first met, I was here in La Crosse, and there was one night where a bunch of people were over by our house, and we weren't dating, we were just friends. And I had to go back to school. And she said, why are you going back to school? And I whispered under my breath, driver's school. She said, what? I said, driver's school. She said, why are you going to driver's school? I said, because I got so many speeding tickets, I lost all my points. And now to get some back, I got to go to driver's school. Remember that? Okay. Well, it's just the truth. Surprise, Dan's a leadfoot. What they do at driver's school is they tell you to calculate things, okay? So I'm going from here to Onalaska, and I'm going to go 15 miles over the speed limit. Well, let's figure out how much time you actually save. And you go, well, I save 45 seconds, right? But in a sense, that principle can be applied to impatience. Because this morning when I got up and my short-term goal was blocked, what was my short-term goal? I want to get in my van without any problems. And I want to come to church. Okay, so I go outside. My short-term goal is blocked. How long does it take me? I live a mile and a half away from the church. And I'm upset. Okay, so what do I have to do? I have to go in the house, get the key, this is not fair. Start the car and move it from one slot to the next slot. 2 minutes? 2 minutes? And I could just feel myself becoming impatient, upset, angry. Because my short-term goal was blocked. And I found that so many times this last week with my anger, it was short-term goals that were blocked. And when I put it in perspective, okay, so I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. And what am I going to do? I'm going to stand around and wait. So why am I getting upset by the fact that I will be 2 minutes late, which I was already going to be 5 minutes early, so now I'm only 3 minutes early. And I'm going to just stand around and wait. But I could just feel that, you know. And we all know because we've all been there. We start getting frustrated. And I say I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I live so differently many times. And I think that impatience is a picture of that. Because I want to be in control. I want it my way, in my terms. And I see how God in his kindness brings these situations to me where I can't have it my way. And I can't do it within my time schedule or even close to my way. And God says, see, your character, Dan, is more important than the project. That's what I'm learning as I'm getting older. People are more important than projects. My character, what God's doing in me, is more important than my agenda. So I found that it's all about me. I found that many times I'm frustrated because my short-term goals are blocked. And the third area deals with my self-righteousness. I can very clearly see others' imperfections and faults, but I can't see my own. And many times I also found that I put expectations and standards upon them that I did not have on myself. And if you boil it all down, it's self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. I mean, when I'm late, I expect people to forgive me. When things don't go, you know, somebody has me on a project and things don't go the way they should, they go, and they're just rough, and I expect them to be patient with me. And yet I couldn't extend the same thing to others because I'm self-righteous. I have a standard for them up here and a standard for me down here. And that's self-righteousness. I'm just being honest. And so much of my impatience fell into these areas. It was amazing to me. It was amazing to me how that occurred. So where do we go? Do you realize that so much of your impatience falls under these categories? Is that we have a tendency to place our joy, our peace, our contentment, so much of that we base when it comes to patience on other people's performance. So I'm peaceful, I'm relaxed, I'm laid back, good day. And it can be wrecked with impatience because I am basing that joy to come from people's performance or my own. That can't be. You can't control those things. That's why it's so frustrating. But I'm kind of saying I'll have a great day today if things go my way. I will have a great day. What does that mean? I'll be happy. I'll be stress-free. I'll have joy. I'll be content. I'll be grateful if everything goes my way. And that's based on what other people do. That's crazy. That can't happen. And it can't happen in my own life. Sometimes I base those things, that joy and contentment, on my own performance. And I'm going to fail miserably. I had a whole week of God just saying, okay, Dan, here's another one. So where do we get it? Where do we find that peace and that contentment? That joy that we just want to function with moment by moment? Well, we know where. Those things must come from Christ. Who Jesus is for us and who Jesus is in us. That's where we find our peace, our joy, our contentment, moment by moment, day by day. Not in others' performances, not in our own performance, but what Christ has done for us. My eternity is secure. The worst thing that can happen to me today in the world's eyes is I die, which is what for me? Heaven bound, baby. Walk in the streets of gold. You see, my joy, my contentment, my peace is found in Christ, that He paid the price for my sin, that I am, that God looks upon me with favor, with love, because of what Christ has done for me. And no one, nothing can change that. And no matter how I perform, that stays constant. God's love is extended to me. His patience for me, moment by moment, is extended to me because of the cross, not because of my performance, but because of Christ's performance for me. And then the Spirit of God dwells within me, enabling me to be able to walk with patience moment by moment and day by day. Because God knew me. He knew all people were sinners. And so what He did was He made a way. He made a way. He knew we couldn't do this. He knew we were desperate. So He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. We were separated for eternity. He was what we couldn't be. He lived perfectly, the requirements for heaven. And then God punished Him for all the believers' sins. And then He did this amazing thing. He sent His Spirit to dwell within us, to enable us to be patient and kind, not to envy, etc., etc. Gave us the ability to do that because He knew in our own flesh we couldn't. And so when we look at this, we realize that the foundation to tangibly glorifying God by being patient with others. I really want you to hear that. By tangibly glorifying God by being patient. It's one of those things you can measure. You can look at and say, thank you, God, for that. Just as you can feel that, you know, that impatience rising up, you can sense how you're glorifying God when you're patient with someone. Say, you know what? This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what my God is like to me, being patient in this situation. And so when we look at it, the foundation to tangibly glorify God by being patient with others is God's incredible patience towards us because of the cross. You know what? When I lost it this morning because of a car being parked behind my van, guess what? God still rejoiced over me. He still loved me. He still was patient towards me. Oh, really, Dan? This is all that it takes to push you over the edge. Bang! Right? But the patience of the omnipotent God was expressed towards Dan this morning. Thank you, Lord. The patience of God. Brothers and sisters, we can be patient because the Spirit of God indwells us and empowers us. Take a look at God's Word again. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, believers, okay? Holy and beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Holy and beloved, compassion and kindness. We're talking about that next week. And humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. That's the principle that we're taking in this entire series in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. It's that principle that as God has extended it towards us, we then, because of His goodness and kindness towards us, we then can extend it towards others, whatever it may be. So you can take forgiveness there, and you can patch in compassion, and you can put kindness, but for today we'll say patience. For one has a complaint against another. Patience with each other. As the Lord is patient with you, so you also must be patient. So you also must be patient. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle. Now look at this list. Okay, it's important. You miss this sometimes. Who is he talking to? So he's saying, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Okay, so now you think about that group of people. That can be a very frustrating group of people, especially if you're a type A personality. But what does it say in God's Word? Be patient with them all. Be patient. Be patient with them all. Okay, these people that are going to drive you crazy, you know, the ones that God put in your life, they know just how to push your buttons. God says, you know what? Be patient. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. It's talking about that, you know, vengeance going on. But always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Not just the body of believers, but to everyone. Be patient. And it goes in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what patience brings. A unity of spirit, a bond of peace. That's what we see as part of the fruit of peace extended towards each other. Towards others around us. At your workplace, there's a sense that there's a peace that comes. There's a unity that can come. And finally, in Proverbs, this is a great verse, 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, we got all these things, guys, especially us. We got all these things we want to conquer. We want to do. We want to provide. We have these goals, right? We want to conquer the mighty city. Especially if you're younger, you say, this is what the mighty city looks like. And when you get older, you're not so sure. But what happens is you press in to conquer the mighty city. And God's word says, that's not what it's about, guys. And he who rules his spirit, then he who takes a city. You see, God treasures not you taking and conquering all the things you want to do, but by God's grace and mercy, conquering your own heart, walking in peace and patience and kindness. You see, that's what matters. That's what will be eternal. You read to the end of this chapter. It says, that's what's important. That's what it is. That's greater than conquering a great city. That's greater than winning game 7 in the NBA Finals with your shot. It's that you can hold your temper. You can be patient with people. So, by God's grace, be like Jesus and put others first. Instead of self-centered Dan, be patient. Put others before yourself, Dan. As things are happening, as you feel your temperature rising, ask yourself, why am I impatient now? What goal is being blocked? Why am I being impatient? And if you have to, do what I have to do at times. This. Walk away. I remember, I'll never forget this ever in my life. I was putting in a door in my garage. When you come to our house in a couple of weeks for the graduation party, you'll see the door. And it's placed by my garage, and I was putting it in. And Dan, whose way is always right, was putting it in from the inside. So I had to grab the door and pull it in. And then I had left the tool that I needed to secure the door out of my reach, because my way is the best way. And I quick let go of the door to grab the tool. And I turn around so that it's got to be one of the greatest moments in my life of slow motion. I'm watching this door with a window this big slowly tip out. What I didn't tell you is on the other side I have a handrail for my deck. That door slowly tips out. I'm running to grab it and miss it. The door hits, that window hits smack square in with the rail. Shatters the window. Go from 0 degrees up to 3,000 degrees. Lisa's standing there. This is not a moment of glory for me. She tells all the kids, get in the house. Immediately, get in the house. And God in his spirit just said, Dan, walk away. Walk away. So I had to walk away. And then it started, by the way, they shatter into little pieces like this, right? There's little pieces all over the place. And the reason I was rushing was because it was going to rain. What happens when it rains and you have glass all over? You don't know what is glass and what is water. It just kept piling on. And God in his goodness kept doing that to me. Anyway. Ask yourself why. Walk away if you need to. And pray for the long view perspective. Pray for the long view perspective. God's not done with you yet. You are not what you're going to be, nor is the person that you're frustrated with, that you're being impatient with, especially your children. God's not finished yet. Look at the long view, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. Relax. Relax. Ask God for the long view. And then extend abundant patience towards others as you have abundantly received it from the Lord. As you have received it. He is your example. He is your source of patience. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we all laugh. We rejoice. You've given us the gift of laughter. And Lord, you also just bring us down to where we live. God, thank you for your patience towards us. Forgive us for our impatience towards others. Lord, I ask you to begin to work this into our lives. This is who you are. This is who we desire to be through Christ. So God, not by our labor, although we do need to work towards it, but by your Spirit, Lord. God, would you work this in us, that we would be patient, and we would do this so that your name would be glorified. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue.